to unforeseen difficulties, this program maker is not available.
Adhyotanam madharmasham tadatmanam srijamyaham paritrana
Hare Krishna. Welcome to this weekly Krishna Consciousness program. And once again, I would like to invite all the listeners to the Hare Krishna Temple, which is at 1229 Coatesville, Riverhead Highway, also known as Highway 28. There, every Sundays we hold a special public program starting at 11:30 with bhajans and kirtans. Then we have aarti of their lordships at 12:30. Followed by a discourse on Krishna consciousness from 1 to 2. Then we finish the day's program with Guru Puja, or worshipping our founder Acharya, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And finish the day's program with the Vegetarian Feast at 2:30. Please come along, join us, find out for yourself what is Krishna consciousness all about. Also, I'd like to remind you that currently we're passing through the month of Kartik. Kartik is the most auspicious month of the 12 months. Any devotional service that you do during this month gives you multiple benefits. The benefits are multiplied thousands of folds. The least we can do during Kartik is offer green ghee lamp to Lord Damodar, or Lord Krishna in the form of Lord Damodar. Better if we can do it in the morning and evening. Otherwise, at least once a day, and you stay vegetarian for the whole month, and chant the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. If you are already chanting, increase your rounds as much as you can. But the least you can do is stay vegetarian, no meat, egg or fish during the month, and offer ghee lamb to Lord Krishna. And I also wish all the listeners a very happy Diwali and a very happy Krishna consciousness year. Remember, for Hindus, the day after Diwali, we have our New Year starting. I'll continue with the story of Ramayana. Remember last time we stopped it when King Dashrath had decided to coronate Ram as the king of Ayodhya. That evening, when all preparations are going on, for the coronations, the two eyes carefully inspected the entire city, initially just scanning, but eventually zooming into details. Something was different today. How could such an important event escape the microscopic scrutiny of the two ever watchful eyes? The rooftop of the palace of her mistress was ideal for a bird's eye view of the entire city. The last massive celebration had been taken place 2.5 decades ago when Dashrath was blessed with 4 sons. What could it possibly be this time? All that the beady, darting eyes could see across every corner of Ayodhya was excitement. Tree-shaped lanterns lined every lane and by-lane of Ayodhya. Such brightness, where one to walk down these lanes ignoring the lanterns, one would mistake night for the day. Ayodhya citizens were exultant and invigorated by the triple joy of the gentle drizzle. The scented showers caressed, colored and calmed the people. Water droplets, color sprays and flowers, showers rained from the mellowing skies on the mirthful citizens, clambered over rooftops and trees. Rainbow colors floated in the air as the joyous people of Ayodhya soaked in the soothing atmosphere. As the indolent sun slowly set in the distant west, an effulgent one seemed to rise over Ayodhya's horizon. Yet all this revelry stung so much that the two wicked eyes just rained loathsome anger. As the wrathful eyes scanned Rama's cheerful abode, they crinkled. The palace that was once a mistress's, and as a consequence hers too, was swamped by people. The spiteful eyes glanced at the slender, wasted maidens in twirling skirts and ornated blouses, swaying to the festive tunes. As they paraded and pranced, the darting pair of eyes froze. The dark eyes turned darker with fury with each passing hour. It was well past bedtime, but the night was still young for Ayodhya. Wouldn't these people fall asleep at all tonight? Why was everyone so restless? What exactly was going on? The now confused eyes turned towards the gateway of the glorious city, swallowing in every flower, every flag, every festoon adorning the houses, street corners and temple domes all the way up to the palace entrance. Besides the luxuriant dazzle of the diamond-studded gateway decorated with flowing, shimmering silk, plantain stems and betel nut tree barks, what struck the eyes was the sheer number of people streaming into Ayodhya, even at dusk. Strange, why would so many people want to enter a city at such an hour? When her eyes alone could not decode the festive puzzle, she opened her mouth to ask a happy maid who was gawking at the festivities below. "What's happening in our city? What's this occasion that I am unaware of? Why is there so much fanfare? My mind is unable to comprehend. Are you aware of what's happening?" "What are you saying? Don't you know? It's the most auspicious news Ayodhya could ever have heard. The king of Ayodhya, Dasharath, has decided to coronate his first son, our dear Ram, as the king of Ayodhya tomorrow morning. People from across the world are longing to witness this event. I have never seen so many people from so many distant lands thronging our city. Aren't you fortunate to have such a virtuous king? Surely our pious deeds have taken birth in the form of Ram." That said, the maid coveted away from the spellbound questioning. The thick eyebrows knotted to resemble a stretched ball. Her breathing became heavier, her teeth gritted, her fist clenched, and her ears fumed. This was a live ball of fire. Mantra, KK's hunchback maid and haughty associate, became livid and decided to take matters in her own hands. For one last time, she scored the city below with the same pair of eyes, but these were now enlightened with the knowledge of truth. The view made perfect sense. Now, suddenly she spotted something that hadn't caught her attention earlier. Kaushalya, Ram's mother, was making generous donations with a confident smile on her face. This was a rare sight for Mantra. Her queen Kaikeyi was always the one making these distributions on behalf of the king, because she was his favorite. She was the one with access to all the king's resources, not Kaushalya, who was always the neglected wife with nothing much to offer. Her world would change to overnight if she did not act soon. This night was crucial for the future of her mistress, and more importantly, her own. Plotting and planning, in a frenzied head, Mantra lumbered down the terrace stairs into her mistress's inner chambers. Climbing down the stairs had always been tough because of the huge effort that went into trying to keep her leaning body from toppling over. But today, her fast-ticking mind was miraculously pushing her through the entire ordeal. Winding his way through the bubbling crowd of onlookers and dancers, Vasishtha's assistant reached Ram's palace. The joyous enthusiasm of the citizens resembled the excited sea on the full moon night. As he gazed away from the crowd, their white marble structure atop Lord Rama's palace reflected the moon beams and seemed to outshine the moon itself. The lower half of the palace building shimmered because of the brilliance of the golden flames from lanterns all around it. The assistant found the noise deafening, yet inspiring. Ayodhya citizens were in the throes of uninhibited celebration and seemed determined to sing the dance the night away. They wanted to be the first one to greet Rama at sunrise. As Vasishtha's assistant passed by the first doorway of Rama's palace and then through a series of gateways and arched doors into the innermost chamber of Rama's palace, the tumultuous noise faded into a serene silence and then slowly gave away to a soft murmur of Vedic chants. The calm inside was in complete contrast to chaos outside. As he soaked in this scene, he was certain Ram was the ideal person to rule Ayodhya. Seated on a simple cushion mat around a sacrificial fire was the divine couple, Ram and Sita. Maids and servants stood around, waiting for orders to be of assistance in their religious ceremony. The couple was absorbed in prayer, their eyes closed to the chanting of the mantras. Occasionally, Ram opened his eyes to guide his soft hands to offer clarified butter into the sacred fire. As Sita opened hers to speckle the flames with pondered rice and other holy ingredients. With folded palms, Ram then gently reminded Sita about the enormity of the responsibility they were about to take on, that they ought to sacrifice all their personal needs and expectations in this fire. Whatever time, intelligence, energy, and resources they possessed had to be henceforth poured into the fire of sacrifice for the welfare of Ayodhya's citizens. Sita nodded knowingly. Vasishtha's citizens soon began drawing comparisons in his mind between the celebrations outside and inside. Outside, the citizens were reveling in the fortune of being blessed with a king such as Ram. And inside, Ram was rejoicing in the opportunity he had been given to save his people. The outside was pompous, the inside sober. The outside danced to festive songs and the celebrations, inside bowed to prayers of devotion. What touched him most was that Ram was unfazed by the high position and role to be bestowed on him the next morning. He was not arrogant and proud, rather he was contemplative and focused. Ram had decided to devote all his energies into saving Ayodhya. Rather than dwelling upon the immense power awaiting him, Ram took refuge in the higher powers to empower himself to dispense his responsibilities better. With every descending step, the plan became clearer and clearer, as if some unknown force was guiding Mantra to stoop lower and lower. Annoyance took over the respect that Mantra had for KK when she saw her nonchalant demeanor. KK's delicate and almost fragile body rested on the soft bed, much like watercress floating on the milky ocean. How can she sleep so peacefully amid such calamity? Her father has rightly sent me along to protect his innocent and docile daughter. But to safeguard her, I need to wake her up from her deep slumber of ignorance. Mantra mumbled and went charging to her mistress as if an evil planet were out to destroy some unsuspecting person. Clasping KK's petal soft feet, Mantra tried to wake her up. KK stared but did not really get up. "Get up, you fool!" the Mantra screamed, still holding her feet. The shrill voice broke KK's slumber, just like the moon that keeps sharing its cooling beams unabated. Oblivious of the poison-filled planet Rahu's approach, you lie there blissfully, unaware of calamity that is at your doorstep. KK leaped up to sit on her bed and replied, "A woman who has four powerful, virtuous sons need not fear any bad situation or any ill person in this world. With my sons Ram, Bharat, Lakshman and Shatrughan around me, why should I worry about minor calamities?" Mantra likened KK to the thoughtless person sleeping despite his house being swept away by a flash of flood. Mantra was certain the flood of troubles the next morning would carry KK away if she did not get up and act immediately. Exasperated that KK was too naive to interpret her analogies, Mantra took on a more direct approach. She told KK, "Dasrath fluents you as his favorite queen, but in reality, he favors Kaushalya more. His action today is proof enough, and your fortune will now dissipate like a steam under the summer sun. Like a stream under the summer sun." KK could sense some disturbing insecurity in mantras, words, and assure of her protection. But mantra became more and more frustrated with KK's inability to grasp the gravity of the situation. You have been carrying a poisonous snake in your bosom and showering it with love, nourished and strengthened by your love. It has now driven its poisonous fangs into your flesh. Its name is Dasharath. Mantra spat out, flashing an intense, angry look at the meek KK. You were always concerned about the complete control you had over your husband and his other wife. You were wrong, my dear Kaushalya. Has monopolized Dasharath now. He showers you with sweet words, but it comes to action. Kaushalya is the biggest beneficiary. The king is outwardly truthful, but inwardly cunning. Despite being born a royal, how can you be so gullible and not know of the cruelty in kingly diplomacy? Kaushalya, though, Dasharath has cleverly set your future on fire. KK was disturbed by Mantra's constant bubbling. She said, "Don't go in circles or mince any words. Just speak clearly, without fear. What is in your mind?" Mantra rambled out. Dasharath has decided to appoint the useless Ram as the king of Ayodhya. That incompetent son of Kaushalya who killed an innocent woman named Tharaka with his arrow. The entire Chola dynasty is embarrassed about this fellow's shameful deed. But can you imagine how foolish it is of your beloved husband to appoint him as their heir apparent? This news has left me drowning in fear. To me, this marks the beginning of torture for you and your son, Bharat. It feels as if I have been hurled into the bottomless pit of anxiety. Unable to contain her joy, KK lunged out of her bed and rushed towards Mantra. "Thank you, Mantra. Thank you. This is the best news I ever received in my entire life. Ram is going to become the king of Ayodhya. This is nectar to my ears. Thank you, Mantra. Once again, you have filled my life with immense pleasure. Surely you want a good reward for bringing this news, which is why you express so much fear. Here, take this gem-studded necklace. It will fetch you a fortune. Why do you contradict yourself by saying that Ram is going to become king and not my son? Ram is my son. I do not see any difference between Ram and Bharat. My affection for Ram and Bharat are the same. Right now, my mind is like a golden pot filled to the brim with honey. In fact, I am so convinced that you can give me no better news than this for the rest of your life. Keeping that in mind and knowing my state of bliss, ask me for any boon. Ask anything you want, Mantra, and it will be yours." Mantra became near hysterical when KK handed over a jewel. All of suddenly, Mantra's mind raced back to that moment when a fleeting arrow had swished and landed with a thud on her back, young back. The arrow tip, loaded with a mud ball, had burst open, sparkling squeals of laughter. Ram had shot the arrow, and the four boys were laughing their guts away as this hissing Mantra had walked away, brushing the mud off her back, but gathering lifelong vengeance in her heart. That incident had dug deep into Mantra's mind and sown the seed of everlasting hatred for Ram. Today, that seed had borne the fruit of vengeance. Mantra looked at the jewelry in her hands and let out a sigh of deep frustration. She began shedding profuse tears. She slapped her own head hard, pulling at her hair and tore her own clothes. She then flung the necklace on the floor with all her might. It created a dent on the hard marble floor, and thousands of pieces of precious stones scattered all over the room. In the process, she managed to grab Keke's attention and shake her out of her joyful trance. At the end of her theatrics, Mantra succeeded in getting her queen to hear it. Keke got carried away by Mantra's conduct, and she felt that it was a jealousy that was guised as concern. Mantra uttered words as violent as her actions. Oh, foolishness embodied, you are reading, you're writing your own story of doom. Imagine a person in the middle of the ocean drilling a hole in his own boat. Oh, fish-eyed one, you are like that person. You are in an ocean of troubles. Your position as queen is like that of the boat, and your laughter, taking the situation lightly, like the drill about to drown you. So we'll stop there. Let's have some kirtan.
Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna.